Hello, and welcome to the Bible teaching of Pastor Bill Bigham from the pulpit of Boger City Baptist in Lincolnton, North Carolina. You can join us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m., Sunday nights at 6 p.m., and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. We're located at 2201 East Main Street in beautiful Lincolnton, North Carolina. For live and archive streaming services, check us out online at bogercitybaptist.org. That's Boger, B-O-G-E-R, City, C-I-T-Y, Baptist.org, O-R-G. And now, open your hearts and minds as Pastor Bill brings the message.
List of the spiritual gifts that the people in the church possess. I've done the same thing here. When I came here almost 3 years ago, I started listing the gifts of the Holy Spirit that I believe the people I'm pastoring possess. Now, I don't know all of you real well, and I have not observed all of you yet and been able to ascertain what your gifts are, but quite a few of you I have seen in action, and I have been able to put down on my list the spiritual gifts that you possess. Now, why is that important? Because every year when we meet with our nominating committee, and we began to ask people to teach and to serve in various capacities on committees and in other organizational areas of the church, it is very important that we be able to connect a person's spiritual gift with their place of service. The last thing we want to do is put you in an area of service where you're not equipped to do what you've been asked to do. We don't want you to be out of bounds. We want this church, as I have alluded to before, to be a symphony orchestra, where everyone is serving according to the spiritual gifts God has given them. Today's gift, the gift of encouragement, is a gift that every one of you have benefited from in this church. As pastor of this church, I can tell you that I have been on the receiving end of your gifts of encouragement for those of you who have the gift, and not all of you do. No one has every spiritual gift, and some of you don't have this gift, but many of you do. In every church I have pastored, I have been blessed by those with the gift of exhortation or encouragement. It is one of the most taken for granted spiritual gifts in the body of Christ. Let me give you the Greek word for this particular gift. It is the same word that is used in the New Testament for the Holy Spirit. Isn't that interesting? The Greek word for encouragement, we read it in Romans 12 a moment ago, is the word parakaleo, which is the same word that is used in the New Testament to describe the Holy Spirit. Kaleo is the word meaning call, and para means beside. The Holy Spirit has been called beside the believer to encourage us. In fact, Jesus called the Holy Spirit in the book of John the encourager, the comforter. And so someone with the gift of encouragement has been blessed by God with the ability to come alongside other believers and exhort them, to build them up. Let me give you a definition of this gift. It is the God-given ability to lift up and strengthen fellow Christians so as to motivate them to achieve their God-given spiritual potential. The God-given ability to lift up or strengthen fellow Christians so as to motivate them to meet their spiritual potential. Here's the outline today: the reason for the gift, the recognition of the gift, the results of this gift being used in the local church. Why did God give the gift of exhortation or encouragement to the church? What's the reason? Well, because God's people need building up. God's people need to be encouraged. There has never been a day, and I've been in ministry now going on 30 years, never have I known a day in ministry when God's people were so down and deflated as they are today. I talk to pastors all the time who tell me that their sheep, the people that they're in charge of, the people in their church, are as discouraged as they have ever seen them before. And so this gift in the local church is going to be used by God to build up the body of Christ. God places people in the church to encourage the discouraged. I have been ministered by many of you in this church as I've been here with your gift of encouragement. And you've been the recipient as well, as I alluded to a moment ago, of somebody using their gift of encouragement in your life. Can I share with you the outstanding person in the New Testament with the gift of encouragement? Would you join me in Acts chapter 4? We saw him last Sunday morning. Last Sunday morning, I told you he had the gift of giving. Today, we're going to see another gift that old Brother Barnabas had in the book of Acts chapter 4. He had the gift of encouragement. Now, every one of you, as you've heard me say before, have at least one spiritual gift. I have two gifts. Out of the 21 mentioned in the New Testament, I have ascertained I have two spiritual gifts. Some of you have more than one. I have seen in some of you two, three, even four gifts in operation in your life. Barnabas had at least two. We talked last week in the book of Acts about his gift of giving. He had some land. He sold it. He gave the proceeds to the church in Acts chapter 4. But look at what he is called in chapter 4 of the book of Acts in verse number 36. Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, and then parenthetically Luke adds these words, he is called the son of encouragement. Barnabas arrives on the scene in the book of Acts as one of the first people we see in the early church with a gift of exhortation or encouragement. Can I give you some of the things that we see in this man's life that made us believe when we first started reading about him in the book of Acts and convinces us even today that the man had the gift of exhortation? To begin with, he encouraged Saul of Tarsus immediately after his conversion. Look over in chapter 9 and verse 26. Chapter 9 of the book of Acts, and look at verse 26. Saul had become a Christian. Here's the problem. Very few people in the early church believed that what happened to Saul, who later became Paul, was legitimate. They doubted his conversion. They doubted the authenticity of what happened to Saul, and here's the reason. It would be like you waking up tomorrow morning and you turn on Fox News or CNN or ABC and you get the word that Osama bin Laden has become a Christian. He's come out of his cave in Afghanistan or wherever he is, and he is now telling the world, the man who masterminded 9/11, the man who is a terrorist in every sense of the word, he comes out of his cave and he announces to the world, I have been born again by the blood of Christ. How many of you would be somewhat suspicious? How many of you would have your doubts? Well, for lack of a better word, Saul of Tarsus was the religious terrorist of his day. He killed Christians by the thousands. He put them in jail. And when he becomes a Christian, the early church had their doubts about it. But I want you to notice what Barnabas, with the gift of exhortation, does in Acts chapter 9 in verse number 26. When Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. Now, you just put yourself in the position of these early Christians. Osama bin Laden becomes a believer, and he comes to Boger City Baptist Church one morning to tell you that he's now a Christian. He's one of you. He's a brother in Christ. How many of you would be somewhat suspect of his conversion experience? They were afraid of him, in verse number 26, and did not believe that he was a disciple. But notice the first two words of verse 27. But Barnabas, the son of encouragement, the man with the gift of exhortation. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. This man named Barnabas had the gift of encouragement. He encouraged Paul. Secondly, he encouraged Paul to use his gift. Look at verse 27. Barnabas gets up and tells the entire church, this man has the gift of preaching. He has already been preaching boldly in various places, boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. It is another trait of someone with the gift of encouragement. Not only will they encourage you, but they will encourage you to use your spiritual gift. Everyone I have ever met in my ministry with the gift of encouragement has prodded me and encouraged me to keep on using the two gifts God has given me. You'll know somebody around you has the gift of encouragement because they're continually exhorting you to use your gift and they express appreciation for the gift that you use. Now here's another thing. He served as a mentor to Paul the Apostle. Barnabas did. For the longest time, Paul was an assistant to Barnabas. I want you to notice some important wording in chapter 13. Go over to chapter 13 of the book of Acts and notice verses 1 and 2. For the longest time, Barnabas and Paul being together saw this wording in the book of Acts when it came to the leader. And then it's going to shift. Chapter 13, verse 1, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. Saul later becomes Paul. But not until we get a little further on in the book of Acts. Right now, he's still called Saul. And every time you read the rendering of the list, it is always Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas and Saul. Look in chapter 13 and verse 7. Chapter 13, verse 7, who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for, there it is again, Barnabas and Saul. But something unusual happens. Look in chapter 13, verse 13. It is no longer Barnabas and Saul, but now in chapter 13, verse 13, when Paul and his party. It isn't even Paul and Barnabas any longer. It is Paul and his party. Barnabas's name isn't even mentioned. Do you know that someone with the gift of encouragement doesn't care who gets the credit as long as God is glorified? It did not intimidate Barnabas in the least for Paul to take the lead on this ministry team. For the longest time, it was Barnabas and then Saul. Now it is Paul and his party. It didn't intimidate or radically or negatively influence Barnabas not to have his name listed on the ministry team right here in Acts chapter 13. The old saying's true. It takes more grace than I can tell to play the second fiddle well. Barnabas was willing to play the second fiddle to Saul because anyone with the gift of encouragement, again, does not care who gets the credit. All they care about is God getting the glory. Let me share something else with you. Barnabas encouraged Mark. Now, you know who Mark is. He's the writer of the second gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Let me show you what Barnabas did for young Mark. Would you look in Acts 13 and verse 13? They're out on mission. They're on a missionary trip. And something happened to John Mark. John Mark, according to the book of Acts, left the missionary journey. Look in chapter 15. You're in chapter 13. Chapter 15 and verse number 36. We don't know why he left, but you get over to chapter 15, verse 36. Some scholars say that Mark abandoned that missionary journey because he was afraid, he was fearful. They were going into hostile territory. He wanted to go home. He went AWOL, absent without leave. So there came a time, when you get over to chapter 15 of the book of Acts, when Paul is ready to hit the road again and go back to the mission field. In Acts chapter 13, Mark left the missionary journey. Chapter 13, verse 13, Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, and they came to Pergamum, Pamphylia, and John, that is John Mark, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Now you get over a few years to chapter 15, verse 36, and after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's go back now and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord." And look at the gift of encouragement popping up in verse 37. Here's Barnabas, the son of exhortation, saying to Paul, "It's a great idea, Paul. Let's hit the road again. And let's take John Mark with us." And look at Paul in verse 38. "Absolutely not." "Barnabas, do I need to remind you," Paul said, "of what Mark did on our first missionary journey? He went AWOL. He jumped ship. He came home. No, under no circumstances will we take him again." He left the first missionary journey. And look at verse 39. You think Christians don't have their differences? You think there aren't times when believers don't have contention? Look at this. "The contention became so sharp that they parted one from another. Barnabas, gift of encouragement, took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God." Here's what the gift of encouragement always does. It always sees the best in people. And Barnabas, with the power of the gift of encouragement, said, "Look, we're going to give you a second chance." Anyone with the gift of encouragement can be ascertained with that gift because they believe in giving people the second chance. They may fall, they may fail, but the gift of encouragement comes alongside that person and says, "Let me help you up." And so Paul and Silas go their way. Barnabas goes with Mark to the work, and they go on their own missionary journey. I wonder what would have happened if Mark had not been the beneficiary of Barnabas using his gift of spiritual encouragement. I wonder if there would have been a second gospel if God hadn't intervened and put Barnabas in the life of young Mark. Now I want you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let me just show you an addendum here. We'll call this the rest of the story. Paul is in the Mamertine prison in Rome. He is days, weeks, maybe months away from having his head chopped off for his faith. Nero's going to kill him. And he is writing 2 Timothy chapter 4, his final epistle. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and would you look at verse 11? Listen to these words. Paul is writing. "Only Luke is with me, his beloved physician." Luke was with Paul on his missionary journeys. Listen to this. "Paul, on his missionary journeys, had Barnabas to begin with, who was an encourager, and Luke, who was a physician. Barnabas was there on these missionary journeys to encourage Paul spiritually, and Dr. Luke was there to minister to his physical needs. Only Luke is with me." And he said, "Timothy, I want you to get Mark and bring him with you. I want to see him. He is useful to me for the ministry." You know what happened toward the end of Paul's life? He had forgiven Mark of going AWOL on that first missionary journey, and he said, "I want to see you again." And so Barnabas, even though he never wrote a book in the New Testament, was used in the life of two men, in the life of Mark and in the life of Paul, to be an encourager. Now, let me give you some traits of this gift. We've seen the reason for the gift in the church. Notice the recognition of this gift. There are eight characteristics that you can always tell someone with the gift of encouragement possesses. Here's the first one. Know that this gift can oftentimes be confused with the gift of mercy. Now, I preached on the gift of mercy a few weeks ago, and some of you raised your hand and you said, "Pastor, I've got that gift." Others of you have come to me since I preached on the gift of mercy, and you've said, "Yep, that's the one God's given me, and I intend to use it for the glory of God." Be careful, because sometimes encouragement and mercy can be confused. And I told you a few weeks ago, the gift of mercy deals primarily with physical and emotional needs, while the gift of encouragement mainly deals with uplifting people spiritually. Secondly, people with this gift tend to be very good listeners. How many of you have been pouring your heart out to somebody and you're sharing your burden, and they're looking at you, the person you're talking to, but they're really not looking at you. They're looking beyond you. And you're discouraged because, you know, they really didn't hear what you were saying. Someone with the gift of encouragement is a good listener. Their chief desire is to help you spiritually. Now, if you've got physical needs or emotional problems that need to be ministered to, maybe you're down and discouraged physically or mentally, somebody with the gift of mercy is going to come alongside you to minister to you. But boy, if you've got spiritual discouragement in your life, someone with the gift of exhortation or encouragement never tires of hearing your spiritual problems, because their chief desire is to find a way to lift you up and to encourage you. Thirdly, anyone with the gift of encouragement is always anxious to see a person in sin restored. Do you remember a few weeks ago when I talked about mercy and told you that mercy is more concerned? Let's say that you've got the gift of mercy, and some of you do. And I told you Suzanne was sick that Sunday morning when I preached on her gift, and she didn't hear what I had to say, but I told you that morning that Suzanne possesses the gift of mercy, and she will agree with this, and all of you who have the gift of mercy will agree with this. In fact, some of you came up to me after I preached on the gift of mercy, and you said, "Pastor, you're exactly right. People with the gift of mercy fail to confront others in sin readily, because people with the gift of mercy are more concerned about maintaining a relationship with someone than rebuking them if they're in sin." Now, somebody with the gift of mercy will not be a doormat, and they're not going to condone or endorse sin in their friends or fellow Christians, but they're more concerned about preserving the relationship than rebuking someone in sin. In a few weeks, I'm going to be preaching on the gift of prophecy. You'll know someone with the gift of prophecy because when you're in sin, they will lovingly yet firmly get in your face and they will rebuke you. Not someone with the gift of mercy. Let me tell you what the person with the gift of encouragement will do regarding sin. Now, they're not soft on sin either, but they're more concerned about restoration. You see, someone with mercy is more consumed with preserving a relationship. Someone with the gift of encouragement is anxious to see someone in sin restored. You remember I gave you the illustration the first Sunday that we talked about the spiritual gifts, and I gave you the long list of all 21 spiritual gifts. And I talked about the waiter in the restaurant coming through the double doors with a tray of food on his hand, and he trips and he falls and the food goes everywhere. And I gave you 12 or 13 of the gifts coming by and kneeling down, and what every gift would say to the waiter lying there on the floor. Do you remember what the gift of encouragement said to the waiter? The gift of encouragement kneels down and says, "Let me help you up. I know you'll do better next time." And I am telling you, ladies and gentlemen, I have had men and women with this gift in all the churches I have pastored. And when I have been down, when I have been discouraged, they know exactly when to give me a word in season. They know exactly what to say and when to say it. God is the God of the second chance. You know, the army of the Lord is the only army in the world that shoots its wounded. Do you know that? Boy, we're real good at kicking people when they're down. They're in sin. They have failed God. And our first response is to shoot them and put them out of their misery. We kick people to the curb who need to be restored. The gift of encouragement comes along with the idea in mind of total restoration. Join me in Galatians chapter 6. I want you to see a word in front of you in Galatians chapter 6. I have shared this with you before, but this is a perfect illustration of someone with the gift of exhortation. Every one of these gifts I'm preaching on, I will sit in my office during the week prior to preaching on a particular gift. I've done it every time I have preached on an individual gift. I'll do it with the rest of them. And during the week when I'm preparing this sermon, I sit back in my chair and I begin to think about the people in this church who have that gift. This week I was thinking about some of you who have the gift of exhortation. You've manifested that gift in my own life. You've been there. You have exhorted me when I needed it. And in Galatians chapter 6, we've got a word about those who fall into sin. If you don't have the gift of encouragement, you may not be able to find yourself in Galatians 6 verse 1. But it says in Galatians 6 1, if a man is overtaken in any trespass or sin, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. What did I say a moment ago about this gift? Anyone with the gift of encouragement is going to be preoccupied with seeing someone in sin restored. And they're going to encourage them back to wholeness in their walk with the Lord. Look at this. Restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lest you also be tempted. And boy, here's something the gift of encouragement always does. Verse 2, bearing one another's burdens. Would you underline the word restore in verse 1? That word is the same word. Now listen to me. That word is the same word in the Greek language that was used in the book of Matthew when Jesus called Peter and Andrew, and they were sitting in their boat on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, mending their net. Same word. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, mending their net. Here's what Peter and Andrew were doing. Their net had been torn. They couldn't fish with torn nets. They couldn't catch anything. So they were restoring their net. Ladies and gentlemen, when you restore someone who has fallen into sin, you are literally mending their life again. You are mending their net so they can fish for men again. Jesus said, I have called you to be fishers of men. So someone who comes along with the gift of encouragement has as their chief aim in life encouraging people back to wholeness in their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. That same Peter, mending his net on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Do you know what happened to him later on in life? He denied Jesus 3 times. He said, I don't know the man. I have never met the man. I don't know who you're talking about. His net was torn. Peter found himself in a backslidden state spiritually. And you know what Jesus did for Peter? He met him again on the same shore of the Sea of Galilee, and he mended Peter's net. Literally, he came along and he said, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? He said, I want you to feed my lambs and feed my sheep. Jesus came along, and because Peter had sinned and had fallen into disobedience, Jesus encouraged him back to wholeness. And he said, Peter, I want you to know that from now on, you're going to fish for men. And he became a pastor and he wrote 2 books in the New Testament, all because Jesus encouraged him. Here's the 4th characteristic of the gift of exhortation. A person with this gift, and boys, it's true, they are perceptive enough to know when a person is discouraged. God just gives them, through the power and wisdom and insight of the Holy Spirit, enough insight to know when someone is down. They're aware when a fellow believer needs building up. Someone with this gift has the perception and the discernment to come along and speak a word to you when you need it most. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I'll guarantee you, many, if not all of you, would raise your hand and say, "Pastor, someone in this church, when I needed lifting up the most, came along with a word in season, just when I needed it." You remember Aaron and Hur? If you know your Old Testament, you remember that Moses was sitting on a rock while Joshua was down in the valley fighting against the Amalekites. Aaron and Hur held up the arms of Moses. Aaron on one hand, Hur on the other. And as long as those arms were lifted up, Joshua was winning the battle down in the valley. When his arms became tired and they sank, Joshua began to lose the battle. And so here's Aaron and Hur holding his arms up so that Joshua can win the battle. I'll tell you, there is no greater illustration of the gift of encouragement than Aaron and Hur holding the arms of Moses up. Do you know what it means? Do you know what it feels like to have someone holding your arms up so you can win your battles? It's exactly what the gift of encouragement does. Number five, the gift of encouragement has a deep desire to help people find solutions to their spiritual problems. This gift does more than listen. Oh, someone with the gift is a good listener. If you've ever been ministered to by someone with the gift of encouragement, they'll listen to your problems all day long. They're there for you. But they're going to translate that listening into action. They're going to do all they can to help you walk through your problems. Number six, they would rather minister one-on-one than to a group of people. Somebody with the gift of encouragement will come along and they're going to line up with you one-on-one. I think of Priscilla and Aquila, who had the gift of encouragement in the life of a young preacher in the book of Acts named Apollos. Now, Apollos was saved, but he didn't have all of his doctrine down. The book of Acts said that Priscilla and Aquila came along, sat down with him one-on-one, and they encouraged Apollos, and he became stronger in his walk with the Lord. Somebody with the gift of encouragement will come to you individually, and they'll sit down with you, and they'll encourage you one-on-one. Number seven, they enjoy using biblical principles to encourage you. They're not just going to sit down and try to build you up and give you the incentive to keep on walking with the Lord. They're going to go into the Word of God, and they're going to pull out principles in the Bible that will help you with the dilemma you may be facing. That's why one of the people that you will usually find has the gift of encouragement is someone who is in Christian counseling. We've got Christian counselors in our community and all over our state and all over the country, and they've been called to the ministry of counseling. It may be family counseling, it could be marriage counseling, but by and large, anyone who counsels fellow Christians is going to have the gift of encouragement because they will take the Word of God and apply those biblical principles to the problem. And then number eight, somebody with the gift of encouragement, and boy, I see this in those of you with the spiritual gift of encouragement, they would rather hear about somebody else's problems than to talk about their own. Somebody with the gift of encouragement doesn't really care about their own issues. They deal with those in their own way. They're more consumed with the problems of other people. The gift of encouragement is a giving gift. They would rather give than get. They would rather exhort than be exhorted. Rarely will you ever hear someone with the gift of encouragement talk about their own valleys and hardships because their motto is others, others, others. The motto of someone with the gift of encouragement: how can I help you? How can I pray for you? How can I minister to you? Thirdly, there's the results of this gift. We've seen the reason. We've seen the recognition. What are the results of the gift of encouragement? Discouraged saints are encouraged. I'm going to tell you, if you've got this gift, you may not have noticed this, but it'll happen if it hadn't happened already. People with the gift of encouragement have said to me, Bill, people seek me out so they can get encouraged. If you've got the gift of encouragement, you're going to find you're like a magnet that draws discouraged Christians to you. I think that was the case with Barnabas. I think he was so filled with the gift of encouragement that people sought him out when they were down and discouraged. Every church, every local fellowship needs a Barnabas or two using the gift of encouragement. We have them here at Boger City Baptist, and I thank you for using your gift. Bow your heads for a moment, every head bowed.